And a very good morning to you. It's 11 o'clock, time for another Red River Radio Spotlight. And if you're looking for something to do for Valentine's Day, or I should say the evening of Valentine's Day, the next performance by the South Arkansas Symphony, the orchestra of which I'm music director and conductor, will be coming up on Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. in the Municipal Auditorium in El Dorado, a program of romance and we'll be featuring several works on the program, including a very well-known ballet, Appalachian Spring by Aaron Copland, one of my favorite pieces in all the repertoire. We'll be performing the original version of that. We'll also be performing a work for strings called the Brook Green Suite, a little bit more about that later. And then one very terrific piece, one of my favorite pieces by the English composer Benjamin Britten, work that was composed during World War II, the Serenade for Tenor, Horn, and Strings. And that will feature in performance a wonderful tenor from Boston, Eric Christopher Perry, who will be joining us that weekend for the performance, and also a very well-known musician around these parts and a good colleague and friend of mine, and that is Tom Hundemer. Of course, most of you know him as the principal horn of both the Shreveport Symphony and the South Arkansas Symphony, as well as lots of other orchestras in the region. Pretty obvious when he's playing back there, a virtuoso in his own right. And Tom, great to have you here in the studios.
Oh, thank you so much, Kermit. And morning to you.
I hadn't realized that this was the first time you actually stepped in here. So
yeah, it's beautiful out here. The studios are wonderful.
We're so at some point we'll have to have you doing some live music here, but we'll have plenty of music on Saturday. And I thought maybe since this piece is one of those great works that features the horn, and I know it's a challenging work both for you and for the tenor, I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about it. It's unusual for me to be able to do a spotlight on something that I'm already involved with. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a nice twist, but why don't you talk a little bit about the Serenade for Tenor, Horn, and String?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, it's certainly one of the great pieces out there. Britten wrote it for Peter Pears, a wonderful tenor, and Dennis Brain, who was, I think he was 22 years old at the time, and was one of the legendary horn players of the 20th century, influenced all of us in the horn world profoundly. And he was actually an organ major at the Royal Academy, but his uncles played horn, Aubrey Brain, another great, well-known British horn player. There were a ton of wonderful British horn players, and Dennis sort of superseded all of those with his musicality, his accuracy, and just all-around musicianship. And Britten, of course, was very taken with Dennis Brain's playing, and mm-hmm. so he designed this piece with him specifically in mind, along with Peter Pears. It is got a wonderful selection of classic British poetry.
Right, six poems, in fact.
Six poems. Charles Cotton, Lord Tennyson, Blake, Ben Jonson, and Keats, plus an anonymous 15th century dirge, which is one of the central poems in the piece. Yeah. And in a way, although it's the words are somewhat humorous in some sense, they're also very scary in that they're if you're not giving of food and drink to strangers, may God rest your soul. If you're not one of those things, there's some great imagery in that anonymous poem. If you don't, may the whinnies shall prick thee to the bare bone, and some startling imagery like that.
Well, each poem, I mean, basically they all focus on the subject of night, nighttime. Mm-hmm. But you know, night has a lot of different moods, a lot of different feelings. Certainly, a lot of which would relate to Valentine's Day in particular. But it's not just love sonnets per se. It's much more involved in that. Some of it's very calm. Some of it is, as you mentioned, you know, somewhat sinister. But it's the integration of the poetry with a basic bed of a string orchestra and these two. You know, the tenor, the singer, and the French horn all integrated together, which I think makes the magic of the piece.
Oh, yes, definitely. And that night imagery is, as you said, one of the key things about it. One of the really striking things about the piece, to me as a horn player, but I think to other people as well, is it's bookended by a prologue and an epilogue, which is the same music, and it's played on the natural horn, or the horn played with no valves, using the natural overtones that are, to our tempered tuning ears, is some out of tune notes. There's a 7th and 11th and 13th partials in the overtone series that are naturally flat or sharp depending on the particular note, and Britten exploits these notes, and it really gives an evocative, almost Homeric barred storytelling opening and closing to the poetry that's in the middle. And the epilogue, when it comes back, the horn player needs to leave the stage and play that off stage. And perhaps for that reason, the final poem is sung just with the tenor and the strings without the French horn. So
to give you time to find your place wherever that's going to be. And, you know, to me, it seems like also a connection with an earlier time, because, of course, in the history of brass instruments, the earliest instruments didn't have valves.
Correct.
And yes. So this, to me, is I don't want to say a connection to a primitive time, but to an earlier time, and it has that kind of sound. And there is a real difference in the character of the sound. It's not just the tuning, but the character of the sound, as opposed to a modern instrument. And I know you can play it on a modern instrument, just not using valves, but
correct.
But something about a natural horn.
Yeah, there's something about the smoothness and the sliding from overtone to overtone in the piece that again is very evocative of the mood he's setting up for us with the poetry and the prologue and the epilogue bookending it.
You want to give us a little sampling of, because you said we were talking a little bit about the poetry before we went on mic here, and you said you had one in particular that you wanted to mention.
Yeah, one of the central poems is a William Blake elegy, and it's, "O Rose, thou art sick, the invisible worm that flies in the night, in the howling storm, has found out thy bed of crimson joy, and his dark secret love does thy life destroy."
That would be one of the more sinister sections.
That is. The two central poems are somewhat sinister. You know, the other ones in general are much more lighthearted.
Yeah.
And the Tennyson Nocturne has some great poetic imagery of bugle calls. The middle verse is about the elf horns blowing, so it's a muted horn, but they're bugle calls played on the French horn.
Right, yeah. So. These are very evocative poems, and so you have this wonderful music. You have the horn integrated throughout the piece, except for the one the final poem that Tom mentioned when he's being in the process of finding his landing place for the epilogue of the piece. The characteristic sound of the right kind of tenor to sing this is also what I like to think of as like a Baroque tenor sound.
That
you might hear maybe singing, I don't know, one of the great, you know, something like the Bach St. Matthew Passion or Handel's Messiah. I mean, this isn't Verdi tenor writing. This is again a kind of sound that, along with the early-ish quality of the natural horn, fits very, very well. We have joining us, we were originally scheduled to have Randy Rushing, who of course is an El Dorado native, and he's in Memphis. Illness has prevented him from performing this weekend, but Eric Christopher Perry will be joining us. He's flying down from Boston, although probably not today with the weather that they're having up there. But again, this is music that is his special. He's been involved with the Bach and Beyond Festival. He's an expert under of Monteverdi. He sings in the Phoenix Chorale, actually all over the country. So we're very, very fortunate that he was able to do it. He's also featured with the Handel and Haydn Society, and of course that's Christopher Hogwood's group that I don't think he's still directing it anymore, but in Boston. So we'll have this wonderful voice. We have the unique sound and the writing of the horn writing on this concert. It's going to be a very, very memorable piece. Again, Saturday evening. The performance is at 7:30. Now, just a little brief mention of the other pieces on the program. Appalachian Spring is, of course, many people have heard the sweet version of it, literally the extract of a shorter version of the ballet. The full ballet is only about 9 minutes longer than the suite, and we'll be performing the full ballet. It was a piece that really influenced me a great deal. It was the first work of Aaron Copland's I really got to know well, and I remember it when I was at the conservatory in Boston. I came across the video of the original ballet. Huh. For Martha Graham, and it was just this film sitting in the library. Wow. And I borrowed the film, and I got all these people together, including my teachers, and I go, let's watch this. And we had about 50 of us just watching it, because no one had ever seen the ballet. And a lot of people don't know that Appalachian Spring isn't really the name of the piece. We call it Appalachian Spring now, and of course that's the title that's on it, but it was originally only written as Ballet for Martha. Right, and the Appalachian Spring came later. But the original instrumentation was only for 13 instruments. We're going to use a little more than 13 because we're going to expand the strings, but it's just strings, three winds, and piano, and it's a very different sound. So those of you who love that work, a great opportunity for you awaits this month, because you can come and hear South Arkansas Symphony this weekend in the original version, and then just 2 weeks later hear the Shreveport Symphony doing uh-huh. the full version of the suite, along with aerial dance and ballet on the
28th.
And two horns. Yeah, there you go. There you go. So Copland fans, it's a great month for you. And then there's a short little work, the Brook Green Suite. Holst had a long history at the St. Paul's School. He wrote for the orchestra there, but Brook Green was also the area where he and his wife were living at the time. And so this short little string piece, very romantic, was a gift to his wife, basically, using the pretense of writing a work for the strings at the St. Paul's School. So a little more romance in there for the weekend. Again, the concert, Saturday evening, 7:30 p.m., El Dorado Municipal Auditorium. For information, you can go to southarkansassymphony.org, O-R-G. You could also call the symphony number there, 1-800-792-0521. And again, I'll be there, of course, conducting the concert. Tom will be there, very prominently featured in the Britain. And Tom, I want to thank you so much for being here and talking about the work today.
Oh, sure, Kermit. My pleasure. It's a great piece. It's one of the great masterworks of any era, but certainly of the 20th century, and it's very listenable. Britten was one of the great geniuses of all time, a mind like Mozart in many respects. Prolific, fast writer, and super high quality music that he wrote.
Well, it's going to be a fun weekend, and we'll even be doing dedications if you want to do a dedication for the one you love. Information on that will be available at the concert. We'll be doing dedications from the stage. If you're with an organization and you have an event coming up you'd like to be featured on a future spotlight, be sure to give us a call at 800-552-8502. Again, Tom, thanks very much.
Certainly.
And we'll return back to more music.